Today on The Balanced Word, spend some time reflecting on all that our moms do for us.
I hope you understand that there's a woman in your life who cares more about you than you can ever imagine, because she wants you to understand that God loves you. That she loves you no matter how much rebellion you've done, no matter where you've failed, that she has put the most important thing in her life to be you spending an eternity in heaven with her. Even if you reject Jesus, thank your mom for wanting the best for you.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up, my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Discovering balanced living through the Word of God, this is The Balanced Word. Pastor Dave Rolfe will be with us shortly and continue our series in the Proverbs called Smarter Living. We'll be looking at chapter 31, which describes some qualities in moms that are truly admirable and should prompt us to honor them. God has given them qualities like compassion and creativity that He can use to bless us beyond words. Here's Pastor Dave to point them out to us.
In verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. It's not saying that she's necessarily a bodybuilder, but what it's saying is she is strong. She has courage and conviction, but also she is fit. She takes care of herself. When you do your people watching, it's sometimes fun to just sit there and look at couples and think of, wow, now you can look at, sure, the woman's thin and all fixed up and everything because she probably hasn't worked a day in her life, and the poor man has been working his tail off. But the truth is that more women really take care of themselves, really are conscientious about their health than men are. And it isn't just vanity. There's actually something in them that has a sense of, hey, and especially this is true after women have babies. It's like they're looking at themselves and going, oh man, I want to be strong. I need to keep up with these kids. And I have to take care of myself. And I so, you know, I thank God every day as I'm driving and I see a mom with a little baby in one of those jogging strollers and they're running along and they're trying to get that weight off. And I think, that is such a cool thing. That's so amazing when women work hard to produce a kind of life for their family and to make their husbands and their kids proud and to then encourage them. A lot of times it bugs us when a woman just keeps pushing us to take care of ourselves, but she has that sense, she has that body image that, yes, our culture exploits that, but at its core, it's a really good thing that you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's something that you want to take care of. And so she's pumping iron, she's working out. And then verse 19 says, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. The distaff and spindle were two things that were, well, this was pre-spinning wheel. The spinning wheel was invented just a few hundred years ago, 15, 1600s. But this is a way that they would make yarn to be able to make things. And what I see from this is this beautiful capacity that women have to be creative, to actually want to make things out of nothing, to make things look pretty just because, to have a sense of aesthetic and be willing to work hard. Hey, how many times, I mean, I can't even tell you how many times it's late and I've gone to bed and my wife is still up sewing or, you know, making things or hanging drapery or making pillows for our furniture and things like that. It's just God has given us women to be able to bring a beauty into our lives that, yes, we really don't as men appreciate it that much. Maybe we don't even think it matters, because if, you know, all you have to do is look at a bachelor apartment and think, I would have still lived that way if God had not brought a woman into my life. But the truth is, that aesthetic, that creative sense, as much as it can sometimes be annoying, it enriches our lives in ways that we can't even fathom. And the thing about creativity is it blesses you without you even noticing it. It's just something feels better because of this creativity, and he saw that happening. And then in verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. A heart of compassion. Women are such an inspiration in terms of how much they care about people who don't have much. And, you know, seeing this, and for somebody like Bathsheba, who ended up having everything that she wanted, to not forget who she was and to not realize that there are people out there who are underprivileged that we could help. I'm not sure in our culture if we would even have what we call charity if it weren't for the hearts of women who care about those who are less. Men tend to, and how much of this is nurture, how much of it's nature, I don't know, but we tend to be competitive. We tend to look at a situation and just go, well, we won, you lost. Too bad. Where it's a woman's mentality to see, oh, they lost. I'm so sorry. We need to really reach out and love them. If you're going to get female votes, you better learn how to pretend to be sympathetic, you know, because men are just competitive. Women can be very competitive, but they're also very sensitive to people who don't get everything that they want. And so he talks about that too. In verse 21, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now, it's kind of funny that it says she doesn't worry about when it gets cold and snowy because her family is wearing scarlet. And we think, so they have a red shirt? That makes you not worry. But the word scarlet became called this word. The word actually means doubled. And the reason they did that is because to make something a deep scarlet, you would have to dye it multiple times to get it that dark. So really what it's saying is when it gets cold, she knows they've got a sweater. She knows they've got a jacket. You know, for men, if we go out with our kids and, you know, we're heading up to the mountains and they don't have a jacket, we don't even notice. We're like, well, they'll learn a lesson from that. Next time they'll bring a jacket. But a mom is the one who's always saying, do you have your sweater? Do you have your jacket? Are you warm enough? And so she clothes her family. Men, if it weren't for women, what would we wear right now? We would have the mentality that Steve Jobs had, where he wore the same clothes every day. Now, he wanted them to be clean, so he bought like 100 of these turtleneck sweaters from some place in Europe and 100 pairs of Levi's and 100 pairs of New Balance sneakers. But he said, I don't want to waste time in the morning deciding what to wear. So I just wear the same thing every day. But for a woman, that's usually not good enough. A woman is going to look at you and say, you're going to wear that? They're flustered. They're like, no, you can do better. It's annoying for a man to have a woman criticizing the way you're dressed because you're like, I have pants and a shirt and shoes. I'm fine. But he here honors that capacity for her to dress her family even before she dresses herself. And then it's amazing that a woman has the ability to get her kids and her husband dressed and then get herself dressed and doll herself up as like way better than anything that anybody else in the family does. And so he's honoring that capacity, that she cares about how her family looks, and that she's wanting to do that well, and that she then gives attention to herself as well. In verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. The idea here is she supports the reputation of her family. She cares what people think about her husband and her kids. And so what she does is supportive of their reputation. That's so important. And sometimes so annoying, but it's so important. It's such a blessing. And then just quickly, she talks more about buying and selling clothes. But in verse 26, he says she opens her mouth with wisdom. Women, moms, will tell you things that sound so obvious, and you hear them over and over again. And yet, how many of us remember hearing our mom say, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. If you point your finger at someone, three are pointing back at you. These little wise snippets, so often, women are latched onto these bits of wisdom, and they stick with you because what they say can be wise. What they say can be incredibly foolish as well. That's not the point. We're all that way. But listening to a woman, sometimes you will grab a piece of wisdom that really sinks in, that's really beneficial. And then on her tongue is the law of kindness. A woman has a sense of wanting to be nice to people and wanting other people to be nice as well. And we may rebel against the law of kindness, but we should honor women for valuing it so highly. In verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household. Sometimes that gets to you. But a woman is looking out for her household. That's her kingdom. That's what's important to her. And so she wants to know what's going on with her kids. She wants to know what's going on with her husband, what's going on at work. She's curious. She spies on her family, watching over them. But that's such a good thing. Yeah, it kind of gets annoying. You know, a man's perspective is, hey, if anything bad happens, I'm sure someone will tell me. So I really don't want to know. When my kids were in school, it used to really annoy me that because I was the superintendent of the school, every teacher would rat my kids out for the simplest things. I'm like, I don't need to know that William laughed at an inappropriate time, okay? I mean, I would do this. In fact, I laugh at the fact that you don't think that's funny. But Anne would always search out. She would look for, I want to know what's going on with my family. Men, let's appreciate the fact that women are looking out for us, that they are snooping into our lives. It's because they care. It's a very beautiful and valuable commodity. He goes on and says, verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. And Bathsheba was charming, and she was gorgeous. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Women seem to have more of a heart for God than men. It's just they have that greater capacity. There's something within them that quite often they are open and listening to what God has to say. Even if they know less, they have a deeper heart, a deeper contact from God. And so this portrait is something that, again, none of us had moms. And none of us can be moms that are like, I'm the Proverbs 31 woman. I do all that stuff. That's not the point. The point is women have some of these capacities, and it's things that we should really honor about them. It's easy for us, especially like after your mom is gone, and my mom has been in heaven for a few years, and sometimes after she leaves you, you begin to gravitate to the things that she failed at, the things that she didn't do that well. And definitely, my mom had some serious flaws. And there were some things that she did in my life that hurt me, you know, permanently. And yet, as I look back and I think about my mom as this little oaky girl who was 18 years old, just moved out to California, marries a 36-year-old man who is paranoid schizophrenic. before she even knew where babies come from. She has several kids, and she ends up with 5 kids. My dad's in and out of mental hospitals. All that time, she's trying to be positive. I can remember after visiting my dad at the mental hospital, it would be a special treat to go to McDonald's. And that was when the hamburgers were 12 cents. She'd spring for the cheeseburgers, and we would get to eat at McDonald's. And my mom never ate at McDonald's. And we would go, "Mom, aren't you going to get some?" "No, I don't really like this food. I'll go home and eat some of my liver," because none of us would eat liver. And I realized years later, she couldn't spend 20 cents on herself, but she wanted us to have. She made clothes for us, and we hated it. And she bought jeans for us that were the wrong brand, and she bragged about us all the time. You know, later as I became a pastor, she would take a bus to come here, so sit in the front row and then tell people the real story about me. And but it's like, you know, when I got married and we were broke because I had had mono and was really sick and missed a bunch of work, my mom, who was living on a shoestring, who raised 5 kids on $75 a week for so long, then put herself through school to become a X-ray and radiation therapy technologist, and then battled depression and desire of suicide for years and everything, really ended up with not much of anything. And, you know, she loaned us money when we got married. And I'm like, "No, you don't have to do that. There were other people who could have easily done it." But she did. And when I began to pay her back, "Oh, David, you don't have to pay me back." It's like, yeah, it was a small amount of money by today's standards. But it's like, man, that was my mom. And I look and I think back and I think, there's so much about her that I want to honor. I'm not going to let the negative things rob me of acknowledging that, man, that little gal was tough, and she taught me a lot, and she believed in me, and I'm so grateful. My wife, Ann, such an amazing mom. Our kids would be so messed up if it weren't for her. In fact, I would have been a terrible dad if it were not for Ann constantly reminding me of my responsibilities as a father. If the fact that my kids still love me and have a relationship with me is hugely to her credit. And I watch her, and still as a grandmother and as a mom, she is just the picture of what Bathsheba had in mind. I didn't know. I mean, I married her because she was cute, you know? But realizing those qualities that are in there and watching her grow and develop, it's just, I'm so thankful for her. I'm so thankful for all that she brought into my life and my kids' lives and my grandkids' life. And then my daughter-in-law, Brittany, the mother of my grandchildren, honestly, she's the best mother that I've ever known. And I see it in those kids, and it's like, I am so grateful that God brought a woman like her, an amazing mother who works hard, who cuts hair on the side, but she has been able to bring out of my grandkids things that I couldn't even imagine kids that age to have. And my little granddaughter, Sadie, who's 3, she is really strong-willed. And I think somewhat she's punishment on Will and Britt, who are both strong-willed too. But it's amazing. Like, Brittany gets her to be polite. She gets her, she stays in her room until you come and get her in the morning. You'll hear her in there singing or, you know, something like that, so you know she's awake. I don't know how, you know, and we don't childproof anything in our house, and they don't either, because she is safe. Ann will leave a butcher knife laying there, and she'll pick it up and bring it to me. "Here, Papa, Nana left the knife," and holds it by the handle. And I just look at Brittany and I go, I am so thankful that God brought this Proverbs 31 woman to my son, who I love so much. And, you know, there are so many women in my life for whom I am grateful. You know, women that I talk to every day, women in our church and others, single moms or moms who are in really difficult marriages where they're not getting a lot of help, moms who had really lousy parents and so they had to just figure out how to be a mom on their own. Moms that I know who have stayed strong and they work hard despite the fact that, you know, they are in difficult situations, maybe living where they don't want to live with somebody who's challenging to live with, watching how they support their children, even when they have no other support system, even when they don't have a mom who is doing this for them. Man, I just want to honor every mom and every woman, because you have capacities, you have strengths, you have, you know, these qualities that as a man, I am just absolutely in awe of. And I thank God for every one of you. For women who act as moms to others, there are some women who are, maybe they don't even have kids of their own, but they're like a mom to everybody. Thank you for all of you and your desires to serve God, to love Him, to honor and fear Him, and to see other people do the same. You know, maybe you're somebody that you're at church because your mom dragged you. It's like Mother's Day, and she's like, all I want is for you guys to come to church with me. I hope you understand that there's a woman in your life who cares more about you than you can ever imagine, because she wants you to understand that God loves you. That she loves you no matter how much rebellion you've done, no matter where you've failed, that she has put the most important thing in her life to be you spending an eternity in heaven with her. Even if you reject Jesus, thank your mom for wanting the best for you. For those of us whose moms are gone, let's honor the ways in which they were women and moms in the best sense. Hey, maybe you go down this checklist and you're like, well, she was that, but she wasn't this. Forget the ways in which she failed. They all fail. We all do. But let's honor whatever they did to represent for you in your life these kinds of virtues, as he opened up with, her worth is far above rubies. You can't put a precious stone and say, this is what you're worth. No, better than rubies, you're worth chocolate.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages. A great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. And now to finish our time in prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
Lord, we thank you for giving us women. It's really true when Adam was there that it wasn't good. So you provided a matching piece for him. A woman. I thank you for all the women today who show us these kinds of qualities, for all the moms who just so amazingly and faithfully do what moms do even when it annoys us. Thank you. We honor them. We honor their memories. Give them a special day today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Next time, Pastor Dave Rolfe will attract our attention to a sin that's resonant in many of our lives that needs to go. And that's gossip. Get on the road to smarter living as you join us each day for The Balanced Word. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play.